Today is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the feast day of St. Philip Benizi. So the second oration, secret post-communion, are taken from his Mass today. You'll find in your missals on August 23rd. Also, a week from tomorrow, it is August 31st. It is the third annual golf tournament, that is the St. Pius V Open. All the proceeds will benefit St. Pius V School Building Fund. There are brochures available in the vestibule concerning that. And if you have not signed up yet, we still have some foursomes open and also some sponsorships at the various holes. So please do pick up one of the brochures after Mass today. The epistle upon it read for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, such confidence we have through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient to think anything of ourselves as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us fit ministers of the New Testament, not in the letter, but in the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit quickeneth. Now if the ministration of death, engraven with letters upon stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which is now made void, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather in glory? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more the ministration of justice aboundeth in glory. On the Holy Gospel. Gospel taken from St. Luke, chapter 10. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings have desired to see the things that you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempting him, saying, Master, what must I do to possess eternal life? But he said to him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said to him, Thou hast answered rightly. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who also stripped him and having wounded him went away, leaving him half dead. And it chanced that a certain priest went down the same way and seeing him passed by. In like manner also a Levite, when he was near the place and saw him, passed by. But a certain Samaritan, being on his journey, came near him. And seeing him was moved with compassion, and going up to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him upon his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou shalt spend over and above, I at my return will repay thee. Which of these three in thy opinion was neighbor to him that fell among the robbers? But he said, He that showed mercy to him. And Jesus said to him, Go and do thou in like manner. Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Lord sent out 72 of his disciples, 2 by 2, into the various areas where he himself would go preach to the inhabitants about himself, the Messiah, coming to the world. And these disciples had returned to our Lord. They were rejoicing. They informed our Lord of all that they had done, and the great success that they had among all the people. And Christ was pleased with what they told him and gave thanks to God the Father for their success. And he told the disciples that they should be exceedingly glad because their names were written in heaven. That is, they could be certain of eternal life if they would continue as they began and to correspond with grace. And then he said to them, the words which we spoke in the gospel today. Blessed are the eyes that see the things which you see. The entire Old Testament was nothing more than a preparation for the New Testament. All of the rites, all of the sacrifices, all of the figures and prophecies of the Old Testament had their fulfillment to the very letter in the New Testament. And of course, they found their fulfillment in Christ himself. That is why St. Paul says that Christ is the end of the law. That is, he is the very fixed point. The fixed point upon which all the law, the Old Testament law, the New Testament law hinges. We can see eagerly how the patriarchs and the prophets and the saints of the old law yearned for the coming of the Messiah. And now the Messiah had come in the consummation of the old law. And he looked upon his disciples and he said to them, these great saints of the past, the prophets, the kings, the patriarchs, they desired to see me, the Messiah. And now you have seen and you should be very grateful. What an inexpressible privilege was granted to those disciples of seeing and hearing the very Son of God under the appearance of a man. But my dear faithful, no less is the privilege to us so many centuries later. Because we too, when reading his words or his teachings in the Gospels, hearing the voice of Holy Mother the Church, we hear the very same Jesus Christ whom the apostles heard. We possess in our midst the very same Son of God as they had in their midst at that time. Between us and the apostles, there is no substantial difference, because the very same Christ who is with them is the very same Christ who is with us today, speaking the very same words as he did so many centuries ago. Blessed are the eyes that see the things that you see. Our Lord, here in the Blessed Sacrament. What a favor has been granted to us. We have been placed here in the world under the new law, the New Testament. And we have been given the very gift of knowledge of all that is necessary for salvation. We have been given the means of attaining our sanctification. In the old law, the means of redemption were there, yes. They were contained in the prophecies. But the knowledge of the Hebrews concerning these means was very vague. It was obscure. They knew so little of the interior life. In fact, in the old law, they were threatened with temporal punishment in order to allure them to practice virtue. The truth that we have now in the New Testament, we do not have through the mouths of the prophets, but now we have God face to face conversing with us. The revealed truth of Almighty God spoken to us by Holy Mother the Church, the very voice of Christ in this world. The acts of the Church, insofar as they are acts of the authority which Christ established to rule the Church, are the very acts of Christ himself. And that is why St. Ignatius said, to think with the Church is to think with Christ. But not only do we have the privilege of living now and knowing the deposit of faith and the revealed truths, but we should also consider that we also have all of the means available to us for our sanctification. The chief ordinary means of sanctification are the sacraments and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The sanctification of the people of God was the end of the old law and is also the end of the new law. And we have these sacraments before us. When we receive these sacraments, they work grace within us. The sacraments of the old law did not contain grace. It was according to the dispositions of the heart of the people of the old law who actually would find favor with God. But in the new law, when we are in the state of sanctifying grace and we receive a sacrament, grace is flooded into our souls. The sacraments contain the very grace of God. And when we receive them worthily, we become holier. The one who worthily receives a sacrament is like the woman of the gospel who simply touched the very hem of Christ's garment. And virtue flowed forth from Christ into her heart. The operations of the sacraments are like the actions of our Lord when he approached the dead man's bier and touched it, and immediately that young man rose to life. We are the ones who have the privilege. We are the ones who have the honor of receiving these sacraments, and they are so readily available to us. These rites which actually restore a life to soul should it be dead in sin. These actions by which the very hand of Christ is the very hand that healed the lame and the infirm during his earthly life. It's the very same hand of Christ that now touches our hearts. What more could we ask for? But since we have been given all of these gifts, since we have been born in the New Testament, you must remember the consequences and the duties, the obligations imposed upon us as the recipients of these so many favors. We must be true to the duties incumbent upon us as members of the one true church, and we must not fail to perform those duties and show gratitude. But what are the duties? What are the duties for us here in the New Testament? They're very simple. To keep the commandments of God and to keep the commandments of His church. Those are our duties. We, under the new law, know the fullness of the revealed truths. And we have the seven channels of grace, the seven rivers by which grace flows into our souls. But not only is the excellent of the new covenant concerning grace, but there's also regard to sacrifice. The sacrifices of the old law were sacrifices of beasts and irrational animals. But the sacrifice that we have, the altar upon which we have, is offered the blood of the Immaculate Lamb of God. And that is why when we come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we come not to the supper of the Lord, as the new church would have us say. It's not the supper of the Lord. It's the sacrifice of the blood of Christ. We must be reminded we are here in a holy place. We must strive to increase our devotion and our prayers during this time at the foot of Calvary. We must be reminded that we are obliged to be present here on Sunday Mass during the offertory, the canon, and the priest's communion. Yes, we are to be here from the beginning of Mass to the end of Mass, with the exception of an emergency, of course. Should one arrive late to Mass, one commits and arrives late due to negligence or because of one's own will, one commits a venial sin. But if one arrives after the offertory has begun, one has missed Mass. And therefore that Mass must be made up. So if one comes to the 8:30 Mass, they miss the offertory, they must come to the 11, because it's a Mass of obligation. Or if one happens to be here at Mass, and then they simply decide to leave during the canon, they have missed Mass, and they have committed a serious sin. Again, barring emergencies. If it's an absolute necessity, God understands. But if simply to take a break, simply to take a walk, simply to go see what's happening outside or to see if there's a babysitter available. My dear faithful, one misses Mass. And parents, it's incumbent upon you to make sure your children are here from the beginning of Mass to the end of Mass and to make sure that they do not leave during the offertory, the canon, and the priest's communion. They can sit through, if you have a good entertainment that you watch at home, no doubt they can sit through an hour and a half movie. Mass is more than just a movie. We have the sacred host. When it's raised up in the consecration, we see with the eyes of our faith the means of our sanctification. How highly favored we are. We who have received the very gift of God Himself, in giving us this gift, the great immense love of Christ, we have the faith and we have our Lord Himself. Be faithful to the law into which you are placed, so that someday we too will be able to enter into the joy of our Lord. And we will be able to be more blessed than we are right now Because we are blessed because we have seen the things that the kings have not seen. But in heaven, we will see face to face. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.